Yeah, so for those of you that don't know me, my name is James. Moved to North Walsham about 15 years ago, give or take 14 years ago, 13 years ago. This is very much home for us. I love this church. I love what God is doing and has been doing here. I love the fact that God has been speaking to us really clearly already this morning. And it can be really easy on a Sunday to think that we have these sections of a service, that we have worship and then we have the word where we hear from God and then we might have some worship again. And I think already he's just really example to us how he is speaking to us from the beginning and how we worship throughout, which isn't anything I'd plan to say, but just something that I thought. We're on the second week of a new series where we are looking at the different names of God that we find in Scripture, specifically through the lens of the Psalms. Psalms is a wonderful book of the Bible. It's a book of poetry, of imagery. It's where theology meets art and combines into something wonderful and glorious and expressive, where our hearts meet our mind, and we find incredible truths unpacked for us in ways that otherwise would be very or too complicated. The names of God that we find throughout the Bible at different times are there for us just to unpack another facet of the infinite character of God. He's so higher than, so other than, his ways are so far above our ways that we will one day spend eternity discovering more about him and giving him the glory for all those things we find. But for now, he's been really gracious in packaging up kind of parts of who he is into these names. And each one we could almost do a whole series on. Like each one we could just spend hours unpacking and we kind of do in life. Martin kicked us off last week with Jehovah El Elyon. Is that right? The Most High God. The Most High God, that's a good starting point for us. And it's important that as we move through this series that we almost don't let go of what the previous week taught us. So everything I'm saying today is still on that foundation of the Most High God. Yahweh. The Most High God. Today I think I have possibly the most famous psalm, the most quoted psalm. I have no prizes, but anybody can guess which psalm I might have. Yes, Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd. The Lord my shepherd. The name of God that we're looking at today is Jehovah Raph. The Lord my shepherd. It's a really well-known passage. It's often the one you see on posters, or coasters, or fridge magnets, tattoos, like the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many times, how many different places have you seen that? Now, the first half is the kind of nice bit that you tend to see, looks nice with a waterfall background, doesn't it? The second half tends to appear more in rap songs, like even the waterfall background, I can't do that, I'm not going to even try it. It's well known. But there is a risk of things getting a little bit too well known. For a few years, between the ages of like 7 and 10, we lived in Devon. I went to a Church of England school, and every day, twice a day, we would recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, like just this kind of mantra, we would just recite it. It meant nothing to me. Literally meant nothing to me. I was a Christian. I love Jesus, I knew the Lord, but it was just literally like, we have to do this before we get our lunch, so let's do this quick. It was this kind of drone across the Lord's Prayer is good. I know it's good, because Jesus told us to pray that way. The Lord's Prayer is powerful. I know it's powerful, because as I've grown and unpacked it again, I know the power in that prayer. But I just become a bit too comfortable, a bit too familiar. I hadn't thought at all about what it was actually saying, that it had lost its path. So have you ever got into a really hot bath? You know, you kind of put your feet in it and it literally feels like your skin's going to come off with it. Then you kind of lower yourself down into the bath and the heat of the bath, just in those first few seconds, it's just almost like a whoa, what a shock. But literally a minute later, you just don't feel comfortable in the car. You just got a bit too used to it. I think Psalm 23 can be a little bit like that. It's a powerful, powerful passage of scripture. It unpacks incredible, amazing, deep, meaningful, helpful truths. And I don't want the impact of the familiarity of it to be reduced. So I've really got kind of two aims today. One is just to unpack a little bit what Jehovah Rapha means, the Lord, my shepherd. And also, I can't do it, but I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit just to breathe fresh life and fresh meaning into Psalm 23. So, to start with, I reckon we should read it. So, Rena, if you could bring that up for us. Okay, we're going to read this version. We're going to read it together. We don't need to read in time with each other. It might sound a little bit muddled. We're just going to read it slowly together. And just to begin with, ask the Holy Spirit just to let the word start to come alive again for us. Okay? So the Lord is my shepherd, and there is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. For you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. The Lord is my shepherd. This is probably one of today's more obvious points. The Lord is my shepherd. The God Most High, the God Almighty, the King of Kings is my shepherd, which makes me sheep. The writer of this psalm, David, he knew a lot about sheep. In his early lives, he was a shepherd. And actually, if we look at what that meant in those times, it's quite a different thing to what being a shepherd looks like today, where it's a kind of job, a 9-to-5, you put them in their pen, you know they're going to be there in the morning. It was a lifestyle. It was day in, day out, over the night, living with, eating with the sheep. You were their guide. You were their safety. You were their protection. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord Most High is my shepherd. And we are his sheep. Now, in this psalm, it's almost split into three different areas. You've got verses 1-3, where there will be good times. You've got verses 4-5 where there will be hard, dark times. But then you've got verse 6 where we also have this ongoing sense of hope. So let's start with verses 1-3. I'm actually going to be reading from the ESV, I think, here. Where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Sounds quite nice. This is the reason why this one is often on your posters and your fridge magnets. In the good times, we find rest. In the good times, we find nourishment. We find restoration. It's times for growth and guidance. Green pastures for food. Still waters to drink safely. He restores my soul. In the good times, Jehovah Rapha nourishes us, cares for us, leads us. I like that line, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me. Anybody here know the reality of knowing that they need to be made to rest? Yeah? He makes you lie down in green pastures. There's like an activity in that rest, isn't there? It's like, make that rest. He makes you lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Anybody here who has lived in a time that they need their soul being restored? Maybe you're living in that. No. He restores my soul. In the good, Jehovah, the Lord my shepherd. We need those moments of goodness and of nourishment and of restoration, because there will be times that life doesn't look like this. There will be times that life is hard and painful and dark and heavy. Because verses 4-5, we get a real change here. Now, just to engage your imagination, this is the point of poetry. This is the point of imagery. Engage your imagination here. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows. There will be hard times. There are hard times. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this is not a holiday destination description. It's dark and it's dangerous. If we look at the life of sheep, when they're in the valley, they're most vulnerable. You're at the lowest point and there are high ground all around you. So predators, they're coming from above you. You are at your riskiest point. It feels like when you are in a valley. And these moments in our life where we find ourselves in the dark valley of the shadow of death, these are real times. These are genuinely, genuinely hard times. David, who wrote this, knew this so well. You just need to read his life. He knew what it was like to feel constant pressure. He knew what it was like to lose loved ones, to lose his boy. He knew what it was like to be rejected, to be betrayed by those who should be closest to him. He knew what it was like to be living in the darkness and the consequence of his own sin. He knew what it was like to walk through the valley, the shadow of death. But he was able to make the statement, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Why? Because he knew that God was with him. He knew that Jehovah Rapha, the shepherd, is with him in the valley. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And there's a change in language here, which is subtle but important. Because in the first few verses, we get he. Have you noticed that? Verses 1 to 3, God is referred to as he. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. But in verses 4 to 5, we get you. Because verses 1 to 3, there's almost that theoretical head knowledge happening. There's a theology going on here. This is the good times and God is leading me through these times. But actually, when we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death, that can't be head knowledge anymore. That can't be theoretical anymore. That has to be you, God, are with me. There is a closeness there. There is an intimacy there that is being expressed in this subtle change of language, where it's gone from kind of theology to prayer. You see, it's gone from talking about God to talking to God. There's an intimacy here. And you know, I think we can testify to the truth of that. I think I can testify to the truth of that. When I'm on Green Plains, I know God well. But there is something about needing God in the valley where he steps in close, of that knowledge of knowing him with me. Where my heart cry is getting bigger and deeper, and he meets me there. Where we grow in the dark because he is right there with us. I know people in this room that can testify to that in the darkness, and the darkness is dark, God has been with them. God has been standing with them, drawing close, not far away. Jehovah Rapha. His rod and staff comfort me. There's kind of two thought processes here, what the rod and the staff could demonstrate. They could demonstrate discipline, correction, that kind of using the big stick, just kind of go, come on guys, straight away. Could be that. The other is protection. The rod and the staff was there to fight off lions and wolves and bears. And we read in the word that David knew what that was like firsthand. Big stick, smack lion around the face. Different theologians discuss whether it could be one or the other, or whether it could be both. I think possibly at different times it means both to us as we read it. I definitely know there have been times I have needed a staff just to go that way. It's a bit of a side point, but I just want to make this statement that discipline does not equal punishment. Discipline does not equal punishment. I might cry a bit here, I'll see. Yeah? I don't know if that's helpful for other people here, but discipline, the rod and the staff, is not just a whack around the face. In this way. Why? Because I love you, and that's bad. That's dangerous, and this is better for you. This way. And there are times that we need that, right? There are times, many times, that I need that. And then there are other times I need God standing there with his staff and literally just smashing lions around the face for me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even when it's dark and I can't see what way to go, even when I don't know what's lurking above me, I will fear no evil because your rod and your staff, they come. Correction or protection, they come. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I never used to know all that. The sheep analogy falls down a little bit here because sheep don't eat from tables. I quite like it though. I quite like David just going, I'm actually talking about us guys. He provides for us even when it feels like all is falling away. Even when we feel surrounded, he provides for us. He's looking after us, even when it feels like no one else is. Even when it feels like our foundations, the building blocks of the life around us, okay, he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil. He honors us. He honors us. He cleans and he cleanses us. My cup that overflows. Even in the dark times, he provides for us. Jehovah Rapha. But that's not all. He also gives and gifts us an eternal hope. An eternal hope. Because there are times in the darkness where we don't almost see right there and then the goodness. Like, there are going to be times where it just feels just so overwhelming that it can almost be like, where, what, how? But he gives us something to look ahead to. In verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There will be good times. There will be bad times. But we have a certainty of an eternal hope. An eternal hope that is rooted in Jesus, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We've already been singing songs about that this morning, this sense of one day I will bow down. When all of this is gone, when all of this fades, I will bow down and worship him for eternity in heaven with him forever. And this hope, it changes all the rules. It breaks down all the rules of engagement that we think we've got in this life. Because in any other situation, any other worldly mindset, the worst possible outcome of that situation is going to be death. But with Jesus, even that ends with hope. I've got to be careful here, because I'm not belittling the reality of the hurt and the pain at the time. Jesus didn't. He exampled what it looked like to lose people when he was on this earth. David didn't. He exampled what it looked like to live through this. I'm not belittling your hurt. I'm not belittling your loss. But it isn't hope. There is a hope for eternity, of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. And this is our faith. This is the Christian faith. You know, if we're only living for this life, then we are of all to be pitied. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's right there, foundationally, but then running all the way through. It always has been, throughout the story of history and scripture, this sense of God bringing his people finally to that place of rest. Finally through to that eternal promised land. It has always been there, reflected and then realized through Jesus. Because Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd, Jesus is a good shepherd. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Jehovah Ra realized fully, like all of the names of God that we will be seeing, realized fully in the person of Jesus. The good shepherd. Psalm 23. I know it well. But the power of it, the truth of it, the reality of it, the fact that somehow it does seem to combine the real rawness of our life, but with that sense of walking through it with him. The hurt and the pain being evident, but somehow we come through it with him because of the eternal hope that we have through Jesus. So let's respond. Let's respond to this. Suze, could I get you up? And Barney. It struck me that there will be people in the room that are almost living through different parts of this psalm. There will be people here who are kind of in that lovely state of rest at the moment, where actually they're walking through green pastures, being made to lie down, being led to still waters, and are feeling nourished and refreshed. Maybe you've kind of come out of a valley period and God is just spending some time restoring yourself. It might be that this is just a time that actually God really wants to kind of embed that head knowledge in you. Because actually it's important in these times to get that head knowledge deeply embedded so that when the dark valleys come, you know it. You know it, you know it. Nothing's taking that away, you know it. It might be that you're here and you are in the valley of the shadow of death. That's what it feels. That's just what it feels like at the moment. It feels heavy. It feels pressured. It feels dark. And you need that fresh revelation through His Holy Spirit that He's with you. That Jehovah Ra is with you. That He is guiding you. He is protecting you. You need to know the intimacy of His comfort. But it also struck me that you might be here and you do live through good moments and you do live through hard moments, but actually you don't know the Lord, my shepherd. And that's the scariest place to be. It's the scariest place to be. Because in the heart, you don't have comfort. But actually, ultimately, that sense of eternal hope, you haven't got that to cling on to. You haven't got that to lift your eyes above the mess and above the darkness. Maybe you're here and you feel like you are... That hope is slipping through your fingers. And you need again, because I can't do it, I'm not magical, but the Holy Spirit is powerful, and you need Him to solidify again that sense of eternal hope. Can I ask, if you're happy and willing, can I ask you to stand? We're going to read from Ezekiel chapter 34. Verses 11 onwards. It's a longer passage, but this is God speaking to his people. God speaking to his sheep. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. They shall lie down in good grazing. And on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. Hear this, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. Who knows his sheep and his sheep know him. If you feel lost. If you feel like you've strayed. If you feel injured, if you feel weak, come back. He's looking for you. His promise is that he will bind you up. His promise is that he will strengthen you. His promise is that he will lead you to places of goodness and nourishment. His promise is hope in eternity with him, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Holy Spirit, come and make that reality for us. Breathe life into these words. Lord, don't let it just be theoretical. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will come now. That you will be a comfort for those that need to be comforted. Lord, that you will bring guidance and correction where we need to learn. Lord, where the intimacy of the Lord, my shepherd, Jehovah Raph, will be realized in this place. God, as we worship, do stuff in our hearts, do stuff in our minds, do stuff in our souls. Lord, if anybody here doesn't know your voice, Lord, I pray that you will open their ears to you. Bind us up, strengthen us and heal us. Nourish and restore our souls. Amen.